Does living in different parts of the world affect how women lead their lives and face challenges? Is there a difference in how women are treated in different countries? To be honest, not really. Although the logistics and environment may differ, women are essentially the same at their core. They face similar issues and handle them in comparable ways. Rajul Shah, an artist and author who used to work in the pharmaceutical industry and has lived in the US for most of her life, shares her journey of growing up, working and living in that country. Hi, Rajul, and welcome to this interaction with About Her, where we speak to women achievers who we call women trailblazers. We want them to share the stories of their lives with us, tell us about their journey, their ups and downs, challenges, so that other women who are listening to them get inspired, motivated to step out of their comfort zones and, you know, realize their potential. And eventually, we want to build a community of women who are there to support each other, encourage and motivate each other. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And without further ado, let's get started.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so to begin with, a little bit about your childhood, your early life, what was it like?
Sure. So I was about 10 months old when my parents brought me from India to the US.
Okay.
And I guess I basically grew up in the US, but in an Indian household culture. So I would go out and I would have my Western world. I would go to school. I have my friends. And then you come home and you have all of the Indian culture, the traditional teachings, and all of that, which I guess nowadays they call that third culture kids. In a way, growing up in a country that's not of your birth and you're kind of first generation. So it was an interesting childhood, a good one. You know, we were, I guess you could call it middle class, economically, as most immigrant families. My parents worked hard, you know, made trade-offs to make sure that their children could, you know, have a better life. And as most immigrant families, sent money back home to take care of the family there. I think in a way, it's a typical story.
Yeah.
Of growing up, I always had hobbies in art. I was always very creative. I loved to sing. I used to play the violin. I took piano. Photography was a big hobby of mine growing up. And I loved to sketch and draw. So, you know, between that and school and friends, it was a good child. I mean, good childhood growing up in the U.S. and going back and forth to India. So I found it to be very rich, I guess is the right word.
Okay. So any particular childhood memory that you have that you think has made an impact on your life?
There is. It's not the best one, I guess, well, I'll just say what it is. And I was about 7, I think, and we had moved back to India for a little time. And I remember in our household, we lived in the joint household with my grandparents and my uncles. The domestic helper every night would go out and give our leftovers, because in Mumbai, as you know, you have the rich, the ultra rich, and then you have the poor and the ultra poor all in the same block. So ours was no exception to that. And the domestic helper would go out each night and give the leftovers across the street. And I wanted to go. I want to help. And my mother's like, no, not a good idea. And my dad's like, it's okay, let her go. She's with that through it, it'll be okay. And so I was all excited because I, you know, it's like, I'm going to go help. And I've never forgotten this. I was 7 years old, and my formative years were spent in the US. So, nursery school, where they teach you things like stand in line, right? Wait your turn. All of these things. Be patient. And these kids, the look in their eyes, I mean, you could see the hunger, right? You could see the desperation. They were wide-eyed and happy, right? With glee that they were going to get food. And they were so hungry. And I remember standing there and thinking, wow, just stand in line. Like, everyone's going to get a piece. I thought, just stand in, like, why are you acting so crazy? Just wait, I'm coming. I promise. And I didn't understand it then, you know, because what I was taught was so different. And I was seven. And then to see kids my same age or younger or a little older act like this, I'm like, where, wow, what is going on? And I got a little scared and I dropped the plate of food and I ran back inside. And it, you know, it wasn't until years later when I reflected on this and I thought, I can't imagine what it must be like to be that hungry. And wow, I mean, how, I don't even have the word to say it, but I guess the differences and the desperation that I saw, and you know, years later when in school you learn about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and the whole psychology pyramid and all of this, and then you realize, like, well, yeah, I guess hunger, survival, that would, you know, definitely engender that kind of reaction. And I've never forgotten that. And in a way, I think that has shaped a lot of my choices in life in terms of how I look at the world and how I look at people and want to understand what ha like what shaped them, right? And I guess if you fast forward to my artwork and before I was an artist, I was in healthcare for 20 years on the marketing side. And I remember growing up and my dad was in the pharmaceutical industry, and I think all of this just learning about poverty and going back and forth to India, it just kind of shaped me to be like, you know what? Whatever I do, I want to be in something that makes a difference or in some way. You know, I'm not going to save the world or create world peace. I'm one person, but in my little world, I can at least contribute to something that does, right? Or that helps to heal people. And so I think that's kind of where all of that comes from in terms of just wanting to communicate positivity and healing. You know, my corporate career, I even have an MBA in pharmaceutical marketing. I mean, it was all about bringing or helping my marketing teams or helping the clinical teams understand the customers, understand the landscape, and to say in 15 years, when you finally want to launch this drug, this is the kind of patient population that's going to exist. This is how many of them there will be. And this is what their needs are going to be. And these are what the physicians are going to need to know about our drug in order to be comfortable prescribing it to their patients. And so, just in terms of making that difference and helping to bring something to market, you know, that would benefit patients' lives, all about healing. And when I moved to Japan in 2012, I decided to kind of retire from that first career because I always wanted to pursue art. I was always a creative person and I loved photography growing up. I read this book called The Joy of Photography from cover to cover, and like totally enjoyed it. So when I got to Japan, I thought, okay, I'll take classes, go to workshops, maybe there's a school I can enroll in. And I ended up taking intensive workshops and classes and studying under masters for about 7, 8 years in Japan. And I did it across photography, art history, oil painting, the Japanese brush, which they call sumi-e. I took acrylic workshops and drawing workshops, anything I could do. And then I fell in love with painting. And I think the message in my artwork has always, the desire has always been to be about healing and helping people feel something positive. And being able to kind of look at my work and take a deep breath and meditate maybe, or just be like, okay, it's been a long day, but what beautiful colors. I'm good. I guess if that makes sense.
So, growing up in the US, I guess working was always, I mean, there it was a given that you would, after completing your education, you would work. And of
Yep.
course, so you took up, like you said, you got into pharmaceuticals and healthcare and then the transition to art. So you think your transition to art took place because of your childhood experience, because you kind of wanted to express that in a way, or it was your creativity plus that experience put together which led to this?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think I always just wanted to communicate positivity, to whomever I met. Be caring, be compassionate. I mean, in a way, that's how we're raised as well. And but because I'm a creative person, that is my mode of communication, right? For someone else who may not have the creative skills that I do, but have engineering skills or superior technical skills, their method is different.
Different, absolutely.
But I think because of who I am, being creative, my mode of communication is through my art.
Okay. So, growing up and then working in the US, any challenges that you faced, which kind of were like roadblocks and challenges, of course, not being a white and challenges being a woman.
I think those were just like every other non-white woman. I was no different. And growing up in our culture, you're taught certain things in terms of your role, right? Who's your traditional role as a woman, as an Indian woman, as a daughter, as a mother, as a sister, as a daughter-in-law? And of course, they're all good things. Nothing's bad about that. And so I myself was like, okay, yeah, that's what I need to do. That is how I, need to be. And in work, at first you don't realize how much of all of that you bring in with you in terms of how you react to things, how you interact with men, and even interact with other women who are not Indian, or not or white, or even reacting, sorry, interacting with women who are white. I mean, you bring every unconscious bias with you when you meet somebody and when you're at work. And so unconscious biases are everything you learned, right, about seeing, just as an example, right? Walking down the street, and shamefully, when I was younger, of course, it's like if I saw sketchy looking people, not necessarily white, black, or anything, or brown, I would cross the street, right? Because I had an assumption, if you had tattoos and a torn t-shirt, you may not be so above board, right? So we all have these, I guess my point is, we all have these unconscious biases that we bring with us. And so that influences not only how people look at us, but how we respond and interact to other people.
Correct.
And so as a woman, I was lucky to work for people who were always supportive of the whole working mother concept. I worked in a small firm, and my bosses were always just like, yep, you're a mom. You go do what you need to do to take care of your children. I worked for Johnson & Johnson for nearly 15 years, and they definitely delivered on what they promised, right? Working mother, advocate of the mother and child, and it pervaded in the culture. So in those ways, I was, I think, l very lucky. And I always had bosses that were very understanding and flexible and allowed me to be flexible. But there were times when, as a woman, you sit in a meeting and you're the one serving the cupcakes, or you're the one offering the tray of cookies around the table, and you don't even realize it, right? You think you're just like, I was taught this is what you do when you're a kind person. So kindly, I'm going to pick up the food and pass it around to make sure everyone's eating, right? Those are the kinds of little things that you learn over time that, as a woman in the workplace, you just don't do it because people expect you to do it. And so they don't think of you as different. But if a man does that, he's thought to be extraordinary or this awesome person, right? Like, it's like as a mom, if I'm sorry, my daughter has 103 fever, I have to take her to the doctor. Oh yeah, sure, go ahead, do what you need to do, I'll talk to you later. If a guy said that, wow, that's awesome, that's so sweet of you to take that load off of your wife, you're so amazing. And you're just like, wait a minute, like,
Yeah, that's
I don't
true.
think my husband's colleagues were sitting there saying to him, that's so awesome of your wife. Like, take that load off of you. It just wasn't
No, never. Yeah.
back then, right? It may be different now. I haven't been in the corporate world for a good 10 years, but there were definitely things like that. And there was definitely, the mommy track. There was never a daddy track, really, because it was just different. But and it was okay. I mean, my choices were my choices. So me choosing to be the flexible, me choosing to be the parent who had the flexible schedule, that was fine with me. Me choosing to be home for dinner, when my husband was traveling on his work, I was happy to do it. I think the important thing here is that it was a choice. It wasn't something that I did out of obligation,
So,
if
if
that
I
makes
may
sense.
interrupt, it was a choice because, again, that's what we've been taught, that as we kind of, I think, just naturally make those choices or gravitate towards those choices because that's what we've been taught. That's what we have seen, or rather, we had seen. So we naturally gravitated towards, those choices and never felt that we were doing anything that was not right.
That is true. That, and again, that unconscious bias comes in, even to that.
So, but even as a working woman in, say, US, anything that you came across, I mean, not as a mother, but and not as a wife, but as a young girl, when you set out on your career path?
Well, there was a time I had an interview, and my interviewer noticed that I was engaged. So he asked me about that, which you're not supposed to do. And they said, well, do you intend to have children? And I just thought, well, do you? Did you intend to have children when you got married? I mean, I just kind of looked at him like, it was just, you wouldn't ask that of a guy.
No,
You're
never,
asking
never,
that
never.
of a woman. And In some ways, I wonder if you're asking that because I'm an Indian woman, because we know that Indian families are get married, have children, all, that's basically the definition of success, right? In a way. But
So,
yeah, it was a very interesting conversation, and I didn't get that.
so as a even as a woman in a society which is supposed to be more evolved than, than something like India, even if you're talking about 15, 20 years ago, this existed there also, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It exists in every society. I mean, it's just in different stages. I mean, when I moved to Japan, it was like the US 20 years before. I mean, it's everywhere. It's changing, as more and more women work and more women make the choices not to have five or seven children, but instead maybe one child or no children. It's starting to change, but it takes longer. Depends where your country is, I think, in that whole stage. And the US was definitely more progressive, in terms of where it was back then. It's come a long way, I think, now. Still has a ways to go. But yeah, I think it's a normal part of societal growth, if that makes sense.
And what about your family? I mean, it was like you're working or something was a given. So, I mean, whatever needed to be done in terms of adjustments, compromises, they were okay with it.
My children kind of grew up that way. They didn't really know anything different until I stopped working like that. But I had a lot of help. I mean, I my parents, my in-laws, my husband. I mean, it was a family project. To raise our children and to help each other be successful. There were times when it's like, okay, my son can't go to school this entire week because he's really, really sick. And it's, you make the phone call, who can come on Tuesday, who can come on Wednesday. I can do Monday and Thursday. My husband's going to do Friday. We had a lot of help. I don't think we could have done everything that we did without the help from our parents. I have to say that.
So family support is definitely much
Family support,
better than
and
social.
we could afford childcare. Really good childcare. So, that makes a huge difference. And I think for a lot of women today, that's hard. I think there's more single moms today than there've ever, and I think been. And I can't imagine it physically, mentally, it's hard. I mean, it's hard when you have all this help and support. So.
Okay, so Rajul, the various roles, a daughter, daughter-in-law, mother, a working woman, wife. So I think every woman has several roles to play. Like I say, we are like trapeze artists trying to do, so many things in one day. So any tips on how one should balance? I mean, going back to your life and telling us about how did you did it in your life.
So it's funny, I was looking at your list of questions, and the last one, can a woman have it all? I know this is a roundabout way to answer your question, but I thought about that since college. I had a professor in college who was very, she basically told me, she's my favorite professor, actually. She's like, you can't have it all. Just don't even think that you can. It's impossible. You cannot be an exceptional mother, an exceptional wife, and an exceptional career woman. And be mentally sane. And
Mm.
I remember back then when she said that, I'm like, well, wow, like, aren't you a sourpuss? I mean, that's such a negative way to look at it. I mean, you're supposed to be inspiring. But I always think about her, because her main lesson was you're making choices. And it's okay for you to make whatever choice you want, but be aware of why you're making the choice and what you're trading off and be happy with that. And I just, that's one thing I've always taken with me. And then I was reflecting over the years, you reflect, right? And I'm like, you know what? Can a woman have it all if you can't? Not all at once. You can over the course of a lifetime, but you can't have it all at the same time.
That's true.
And that is what has shaped every choice I've made, whether it be as a career woman, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a wife. It's, you know, because I'm like, well, you know. And even Maria Shriver said it best. I think she wrote a book and she said it. She's like, you can have a career in your 20s, you can have motherhood in your 30s, and you can go back to your career in your 40s, and you can have a whole different life in your 50s. The point is, you have a long, long life to live, right? Life isn't short. I mean, the average life expectancy in most of the developed world is over 80.
Yeah,
If
that's very
you're in the right economic strata, I mean, you need a plan.
Yeah,
You
definitely.
know, it's a marathon, so you got to pace yourself, you know. So if you were to if you know when someone says to me, oh, you've done so much, how did you do it? It's like, well, I didn't expect to do it all at the same time. You know, I didn't expect to be a vice president by the time I was 35. I didn't expect to be a CEO. And not that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that's bad at all. All I'm saying is it's your choice. And the wonderful thing about being a woman today, and that will continue to be a wonderful thing about being a woman tomorrow, is that we're realizing that we have the opportunity to choose.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have opportunities thanks to medical advancements in fertility, thanks to, you know, mental health advancements and self-awareness and programs like this that create awareness and help other women. We have the opportunity to make the choices we want to make when we want to make them. And so, you know, I embrace each one of my roles, and I try to balance them as best I can. Sometimes I don't do it so well.
We're human at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And I
And you
guess
give yourself that grace.
knowing what is to be done when, that is also very important. You know, like you prioritize, and whatever is more important, you give that the due importance, and that's how you balance. All right.
Yeah, I mean, and I always with work that I did always try to stay ahead. That is one thing I always did. If I knew, and in my job, I was able to do that with the kind of job and career I had. I knew what was coming down the pike in a month, so I could, you know, make a plan and get whatever I needed to get done for that earlier versus later. So I always did try to stay ahead of my workload just in case one of my children fell ill and I would have to disappear for 3 days or something. I think I did put a lot of pressure on myself not to fall behind and to stay ahead. So, yeah.
So, Rajal, looking back on your life, what do you think has been your biggest success so far?
That's a I don't even know. I can't point to one thing.
Okay.
You know, because I look at everything and I think, you know what? 85% of the time, I did pretty good.
So
You
that's
know,
it.
and
That's it. Yes.
like 85% of the time, I was a good mother, or I am a good mother. You know, 85% of the time, I'm a good wife, a good daughter. I'm a good artist. I mean, I dedicate myself to my craft, and I'm doing my best. It's hard to point to any one thing. I mean, there's milestones along the way, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You get this wonderful award at work for doing a superior job. You see your kids graduate college and get good jobs, and
Yeah.
you're thinking like, okay, so far so good. So far we're good. You know, you're just
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
every bit along the way, you just it, so far so good. Thank you. You know, and you just keep going that way. And
So
I
there are
think maybe,
so many of
yeah.
them, so many successes along the way.
Yeah. Little ones, you know, I mean, I, like I said, I, yeah, little ones, at least in my world, I feel like I've made these little successes and made a difference for the
Yes, and these
people
little
around
ones
me.
together is what make a difference in your life. Yeah.
Yep.
So what about the highs and lows of life? The days you are like, don't want to do anything at all, whether it's your work. I mean, some days are, you know, those slow, sluggish days. So how does one cope with them? How have you coped with them?
You know what? I give myself the time off. I take a day or the 2 days. Sometimes it's a week, and you just give yourself the grace and plug in Netflix and watch your favorite sitcom, or, you know, watch Avengers and get all pumped up. Like, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, I'll get over this. And
Yeah.
you know, you just self-care. I mean, highs and lows are always coming. There's no high without a low, and there's no low without a high. So
Absolutely.
it's just, you know, the trick is just maneuvering through them so that the lows don't squash you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, sometimes I'll just spend the day in the studio, and I won't paint anything, but I'll come away with color on an entire canvas. You know, you just kind of let your mind wander and go for a walk in the park, or yeah. And the high times, I just celebrate and just be grateful. Today's good. That's awesome. You know, and you just, I have a gratuity journal. I don't write in it every day. I wish I did, but I don't. I write in it maybe twice a week, sometimes once a week, just when I'm feeling really low. I journal a lot. I have an art journal. I have
That's wonderful.
yeah, I mean, I have a bucket list. I've had a bucket list since I was 15. All these things I wanted to accomplish in my life, and not big things, but like learning backgammon, or teaching myself yoga, or getting my MBA, or going surfing, or trying, you know, learning to ski. Like, you know, I just, and sometimes when I have a low, I go back to my bucket list and just to remind myself, like, look at
Yeah.
all you've done. You're not doing too bad. Just take it easy and don't, you know.
I think that's a good way. I mean, if you look
Yeah.
at what you've accomplished, that can be hugely motivating, hugely inspiring, because then you can see what you have done. And if, say, that particular day you don't feel like doing anything, it's okay. You know, we all
Yeah.
need, you know, those days
Yeah.
we just want to kind of switch off.
Yeah. And of course, you have your girlfriend. So,
Oh,
you know,
yes,
you call your
absolutely.
best girlfriends and you just start joking
Yeah,
about the fact that you're having a bad day, and they always cheer you up.
sure. So, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? Doing something different or just, I mean, making your art bigger and better or whatever in that space?
My hope is that my art will be bigger and better. Physically, where I'll be, I have no idea. We move around. We were in Japan for 8 years, now we're in Singapore, and I love learning about another area of the world, and I think living in that area is just a great way to learn about other cultures and be engrossed, and that also impacts my art. My art is actually influenced by the Japanese art of kintsugi, which is something I learned about when I lived in Japan, and I was able to appreciate the whole concept. So, in 10 years, I might be back in the US. We might still be in Singapore.
But
As
doing
long as
your
I'm
art and
happy,
living in Singapore.
and yeah, I think as long as I'm happy and my family is happy, it's all that matters.
Yeah, I guess that is what should matter to most of us. Okay, so Rajul, some of the learnings of your life. What is it that life has taught you?
One big learning for me is I grew up with parents who, and not they weren't wrong, but I grew up with a very set definition of what is right and what is wrong. And over my lifetime, I've learned a lot about the gray. And you learn that people really do just operate in the gray.
That's true. Most people do that.
And you have to be able to communicate with them, right? So I think for me that the one of the biggest learnings and the best learning through corporate America, through all of my travels, or even just being a mom, it's like there is no right or wrong. When you're interacting with someone, you cannot treat it like this is right, that's wrong. It has to be treated like you feel this way, therefore I have to understand that. It's not for me to judge. It's just let's figure it out together. So like when you're working with somebody, they come at things differently and they think things should be done one way and you think they should be done another. And the fact is that there's no right or wrong way. Your intentions are good, my intentions are good, and we're just going to figure it out together. I think you can't take it personally.
Yes, I think it's the perspective. It's the way people look at things. So from my perspective, I'm right. From yours, you are right. So we cannot sit and judge that you are wrong or I am right. It cannot be that way. Yeah, that is true.
And then another learning, one of my bosses said, she's like, it's business. It's not emotional. It's just, as a woman, especially, she's like, because I was one who always wore my heart on my sleeve. Like, if I was disappointed with something, I was like, And my boss would tell me, she's like, look, just make it about the business. Nobody can say anything to you about how, oh, you're an emotional woman or you're taking this too seriously. She's like, take the emotion out of it. You just may it's all about the business. And when you make it all about the business, that's what they focus on. They don't focus on you. That was another really good learning. And I've applied that even in my art career because just as many times as I've been successful in my art career, whether it's being accepted for a show or there are 10 times
Thankful.
that I was rejected. And you can't take it personally. So that's one of the, I think those two things are some of the best things I've learned along the way.
So Rajul, tell me something that a successful woman, How does the world react to her? I mean, whether it's men or women, how do they take that success?
Oof. That's different, across cultures, across. I've had women peers who look at me and they're like, wow, like that's so cool, and I wish I could do that. And, they admire me and they appreciate me. I've also had women who have vocalized their disapproval of the fact that I was a working mother. And because I worked 50 hours a week or whatever, why did I bother to have children? Or what's the point? I mean, I've had it from all sides. So my oldest is 30 and my youngest is 14. And thankfully, we've made a lot of progress since my daughter was a toddler versus when my youngest was a toddler. But I've had judgments from other women, and you just like, wait a minute. Like, women are supposed to help hold up other women. Like, it is this, I believe that it is a sisterhood, and it has to be a sisterhood because there's no other way, to do this and rise individually if you can't rise or help your group to rise as well. But I've had women who were so toxic that I worked with, and they didn't like if that I did something well, or if they just felt like, well, I had to pay all these dues, so why should you be any different? I worked when I was the only woman when I started working here, and I had to deal with all of this. So it's not a big deal that you have to deal with it,
And
and
if you're not, then how come you're not when I had to?
right. And it's just like, well, was that the purpose? Yeah, I mean, and you don't see men do that to each other in the workplace.
They don't.
They mentor each other, and they're like, well, this is the way it was done when I was growing up in this company, and this is what I learned. Women, not every woman does that. And that's
What about
disappointing.
men reacting to successful women? Do you see anything extraordinary or anything different over there? Or it's like normal? Like they would react to a successful man. Is it the same way?
I think it depends on the man. I've had all of like I think a lot of men appreciate the complexities of being a working mom. Especially if they have their own wives going through similar experiences. Then they come to work with a greater appreciation for what you're carrying as a working mother, or even just as a working parent now, right? I've had men pat me on the head and tell me I did a great job, and I'm like, what am I, a puppy? Like, don't do that. You want to tell me I did a good job? Then shake my hand and tell me that was a really nice job. Like, don't touch my head. I've had men blink at me, like, hey, nice work. I'm like, is there something caught in your eye? That, like, do you have a piece of dust in your eye? Should I get you a tissue? I mean, it's just. I think some men, I don't know, they find it humorous, but you just have to, as a woman, you just take it and you kind of give it back in a humor, using humor, and it seems to work. Like, oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. I'm like, yeah, okay, no worries. Just have to do it again.
I guess you have to put your point across, do it in a polite but firm manner. Like they say.
And yeah, I think, and in the corporate world, it's different. I think in the art world, it's different. The art world is not unlike any other area. Women ha are underrecognized. Women artists are definitely underrecognized and do need more visibility. Whether you're an emerging artist like I am, or you're a really successful one, I think the biggest happiness for me in the art world is seeing Yayoi Kusama achieve and finally get attention for her beautiful work. Well, she's in her 90s.
Well, high
It
time.
took a long time, but I'm
Yeah.
happy that she's finally getting it. But, it shouldn't take that long. I mean, but it's different in, in cultures like in Japan, they have a longer way to go than they do in the US just because they're behind, right? So
I guess
and
different cultures, different people, that makes a difference. Okay. So, of course, you've done it yourself. You're a prime example of someone who shifted gears in life. So, from the corporate world, you took a break and moved to art. But it's become very common nowadays. A lot of people are doing different things. I guess when we were growing up, there were certain, conventional career paths that people had, and most of them ended up, doing one of those things. But now you see people in their 40s, 50s, switching to different, very, very different things. Why do you think this is happening? And you think it's good, bad? I mean, what are your views on it?
I think it's a combination of factors. I think as society progresses and families are born, and as both parents take more responsibility or they even the workload, so to speak, I think people are finding that the career that they have doesn't allow for the personal life they desire. And so they make a change. Which I think is great because you have to enjoy what you're doing or you're just going to be a grump all day long and who wants that at home? I mean,
Okay, that's true.
not worth it, right? And I think the other thing is I think as I said in the beginning, life is really long. And we are going to have to work longer to support ourselves through all of that financially. So make sure you are doing something you really enjoy because you're going to be doing it for a long time. And I think people are finding that, okay, this was a good job, but I'm not enjoying myself as much as I think I could be, so let me try something else. And I do have my spouse who is financially able to support us while I figure that out, so let me go do it. And isn't that wonderful? Like, I
It
think that in itself is great. And I also think that we expect our children to like know what they want to do at a really young age. I mean, if we're gonna live till 80, 85, you're expecting, I mean, we ask our children, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, well, I haven't grown up yet. So I'm like barely there. And so I think a lot of us go into college and we choose, we make good choices. We choose, an area that we do have interest in, but maybe down the line you're like, well, I wanted to have a different aspect of it, right? So people make changes, and I think it's a good thing.
I agree.
You have to evolve. You have to change to be happy. Like you can't stay stuck. And we have a very skilled workforce. More and more people that get educated, go to college, They get additional skills. There's so many opportunities to learn new things, whether it's on the job or off the job. Of course, people are going to be like, well, I really enjoyed that. Maybe I should make a career in that direction. Or I want to go back to school because I didn't get to do what I really wanted to do the first time.
So yeah, I agree. It is something good, something positive. Show that we are growing and evolving.
Yeah. And
Okay.
I think it's good because we're showing our children like it's okay to change course,
Yes.
right? As long as you do it responsibly and in a positive way, it's okay to change course.
Yes, it is. It is. So, any piece of advice for the young girls of today? Girls who are on the threshold of their lives, professional, personal, anything you would like to tell them?
I think, it's the same thing that I tell my daughter. Don't let other people change who you are. Like, have agency. Be true to yourself. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe what I mean. It's for a long time when I first started working, it was, be more like a man, less like a woman. And to me, it's like, just be who you are,
Yes.
right? Don't label it as, oh, I'm being a woman, or I'm being a girl, or I'm not being, or I'm being more like a man. Just be who you are and, be compassionate and just be patient because you cannot have it all at once.
Yes, of course, definitely.
But have a plan, right? Make a list of the things that you want to do in your entire life, whether it's teaching your kids how to play backgammon or someday skydiving on your 20th anniversary, or I don't know, whatever that list is, make the list and check and just work towards checking it off, right? Have a vision for your life, where you want it to go, what you want it to look like. I mean, just like we apply strategic thinking to our jobs or our businesses, you should apply it to your life.
Yeah,
And
that's true.
part of the reason I say that, especially for women, is, the fact of the matter is biologically, we are the ones who have the babies.
Yes. Can't do anything about that.
That is what it is,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
and you will be a mother if you decide to have children. And it's not something. How do I say it? Like, you can choose to be a really good mom,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
The point is it's your choice,
Yes.
right? So just be true to yourself, but also accept the fact that yes, I am a woman. Yes. I have to have the babies because that's just the way it is. That's what nature did. That's biologically, that is part of my role as a human being on this earth in the whole scheme of procreation, right?
Yeah.
And that's not changing anytime soon.
No, it is
So,
not.
don't fight it, I think.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It's a privilege. And be kind to yourself and just put it in your plan, I guess. If that does that make sense?
Yes. And as a woman, how would you say rate financial and emotional independence?
I think that is of high importance. I think, and I would even say this to my sons. I mean, whatever you do,
Yeah.
do it well.
Yes.
and make sure you can be financially independent should you need to be, you know, and emotionally take care of yourself. Don't depend on someone else to do it for you all the time. Now, I say the same thing to my daughter. That aside, there are realities in life, like when you are married for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, there is a symbiotic relationship that happens with your partner, and you are less likely to be emotionally independent, if that makes sense. And that's okay, because that is the way it's supposed to be. You don't, you know, if you choose to share your life with someone, you have to share the emotional side. And financially, you have to work at it together. So I guess the thing I'm saying is when you're young, make sure that you have the tools to be financially and emotionally independent. As you go through the various stages in your life of being a mother or, you know, being married, whatever comes first, and your marriage goes through the stages it goes through, hopefully, you know, marriage will last a while and you'll be happy, but recognize that there is a dependence that is going to occur
Yes, that's
over
only natural.
time. And that's natural and it's okay. There's nothing wrong in that. It's part of having the fulfilling relationship with your partner. At the same time, keep up your skills. You know, like a doctor or pharmacist will keep up their license even if they're not actively practicing. Do the same with yourself, you know, with your craft. Keep going.
That I agree. So then we've of course already discussed, can a woman have it all? So you feel that yes, you can have it all when you look at your life, look back on your life in totality. You may not be able to have it all at the same time, and I kind of agree with that. It's in totality, yes, but I can't say that if I want everything today and I will get it. That's not happening. And I don't think it's a man or a woman thing. I think it's true of anyone and everyone. You have everything at the same time.
I think when I was growing up, there was a commercial. Forget what the advertisement was for, but it had a tune, a woman who's like, I can bring home the bacon, I can fry it up in a pan. And it went on and basically suggesting, like, I can do it all as a woman, you know? And I think that's one of the most dangerous expectations we've created for our selves and our youth, because it's the most unrealistic expectation. I mean, you know, any woman CEO or would tell you, like, she doesn't do it on her own, you know.
She cannot, it's
She can't. So, yeah, I definitely we can't do it all at once. But
yes.
when you look back at your life and you're 85 or 80 and you're sitting, you know, walking on your treadmill, and you think about your life and you'll be like, you know, I've had it all. I got to do all I wanted to do.
That I think you have to time it well.
Yeah.
So fine, that was it. And very interesting, very nice having you here and talking to you. I hope you had a wonderful experience.
No, I did. Thank you. And
Thank you.
yeah, I really appreciate the time. This is such a wonderful thing you're doing, and I love your other videos as well. It's very inspirational. So I'm very humbled that you decided to have me. Thank you.
No, you've had an interesting life, and I definitely wanted you to share it with us. And like I said, it is all about encouraging, inspiring other women. I think every woman's life, there is a story that you can tell. And if you've made something out of your life in different ways, why not tell others about it?
I agree. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in every Thursday for some more inspiring conversations with women trailblazers. If you like the show, follow us and you could leave a review to help us get better. You could even get in touch with us on any one of our social media handles.